this reminds me of my first experience in radio. It was back in the early 80s.
People with disability and mental health.
There's always controversy with us.
The mysteries of the mind and consciousness.
And we might get to the bottom of something, or we might start something new.
We're going to run the gamut and we're going to have a good time.
Waking Braves. No, not Waking Braves. We're Breaking Waves.
Breaking Waves?
Breaking Waves.
Breaking Waves.
We are back. You are Riley Thomas.
And you are John Mark.
And today,
we're bringing you a show all about healing.
Because I have a feeling of needing some healing.
In this world that's so fast-paced, where no one has an attention span anymore, the healing that is all around us and within us is often something that is taken for granted and not considered much at all.
Except as a product. Except in a box. A packet.
That's right, the need for healing is being sold.
In bottles. Give me a bottle of that healing.
Even, I mean, these days, it doesn't even have to be something tangible. It could just be pixels.
But what's it all about? What's actually happening? What is it?
Perhaps it is a replacement. Out with the old, in with the new. We cannot have stasis, for we die. Movement is essential to healing and progression. Rebuilding, rehabilitating, refreshing.
Yeah, life. In life, there is death and there is healing from
trauma,
disease,
damnation,
toxicity, and
poisoning,
and deficiency.
That's right. Healing from deprivation.
So it's a word we use a lot. To heal, to be healed, to be a healer. Let's go and find out what the interwebs say, what the scrying mirror tells us. I like the way Google starts, because instead of starting with pills and potions, tests and procedures and surgeries, Google tells us that healing is a multifaceted process involving the body's natural ability to repair damaged tissue and cells, as well as the psychological and emotional journey of recovering from a problem or pain. It encompasses physical recovery from illness or injury through processes like tissue regeneration and regaining strength, and emotional and mental recovery that can involve dealing with bad situations, mending from emotional hurts, or achieving a sense of personal wholeness. You know, when I was looking for music for this topic, there was an awful lot of spiritual healing and religious-related healing in the music, but not a lot of any other kind of healing, songs about healing.
Yes, it seems kind of underrepresented. The most famous one I would think of would be Marvin Gaye's Sexual Healing.
The word healing has the usual etymology for most of our words. It goes back from Old English and Germanic to roots in Latin and ancient Greek. Yes, Merriam-Webster. Now, definitions of healing, as in recovery, the process or period of gradually regaining one's health, recovery, recuperation, resuscitation, revival, rehabilitation, convalescence. That's healing as a noun, a process. But there's also Well, there's medicinal healing to cure diseases, which is kind of a modern idea. Now, the opposite of medicinal healing is words like toxic, unhealthful, noxious, injurious, pernicious, deleterious, and unwholesome.
Beware of such things.
So, to heal, Old English, healan, to cure, save, or make whole, sound and well, from Proto-Germanic, heligan, Dutch, Helen, Persian, hella, literally to make whole, once again, from the 1650s, curing, relieving, affording a remedy, from Latin, remedialis, healing or curing, from Latin, remedium, a cure or remedy or medicine, an antidote, which restores. So there we have it.
Yes.
So, you know, there's different kinds of healing we can go through. We've already established in past episodes that we are a combination of body, mind and spirit. Makes us one. And we can get sick in a whole lot of different ways and seek cures. But as Google points out, one of the most amazing processes of healing is the human body, which is a self-repairing, self-healing miracle. And the best that any doctor can do is to help with that process.
It's remarkable. Apparently, the human eye heals quicker than anything else in a body.
There's a lot of cell death happens in the eye. Does it? In your retina or something?
Perhaps, yeah.
Is that what all those floaters are that you see all the time? Apparently the floaters are lumps of protein floating around in the fluid inside your eyeball.
Yeah.
Well, really, protein is just a lump of stuff. We're made from protein. And so it's probably just part of our viral load, our load of dead cells that make up our body. With a little bit of alien dead stuff as well.
A little bit of alien thrown in.
Which we don't like because we get things like herpes and warts and colds and other things.
Rashes.
Lumps, bumps, growths, festering globules.
This is a Halloween show.
Healing. Who does the healing? Well, the body heals itself, but it can be assisted by healers, which would be a noun, a healer. And they come in various forms. In our Western world, we mainly refer to doctors as the main source of healing with their pills and potions of the modern Rockefeller allopathic medicine that we're all swimming in at the moment. But other cultures, they have other kinds of healing, healers, healing people that heal, like shamans, witch doctors, faith healers of all kinds. Even preachers have the power to heal. In fact, my father is a preacher and he used to regularly do services where he would invite people to bring along not only themselves but their pets, and he would pray over their pets in an attempt to heal them from their woes, which I always thought was nice.
Definitely.
Had any experience with faith healers, Riley?
No, not personally. Oh, well, one could say so, but not in the sense of like those...
The healing tents.
No, not the revival tents. With the...
We missed out on that. I'm so jealous of the American culture, which is rife with healers of all description traveling around in tents with bags of snakes and all kinds of crazy mechanisms for healing people.
Of course, there'd be a lot of snake oil salesmen too, as there still is today. Within other kinds of areas of healing. Now, John, are you familiar with the archetype of the wounded healer?
Who is he?
Well, this is the AI overview, and it is a person whose own pain and suffering becomes the source of their ability to help others heal, particularly in areas like trauma, illness, and emotional distress.
Oh, sounds like an empath healer.
That's right. The concept was popularized by Carl Jung and is rooted in the Greek myth of Chiron, the centaur, who was a wise healer with an incurable wound. Wounded healers often characterized by their empathy, resilience, using their lived experience to better understand and connect with those that they need helping. So there you go.
Wonderful. And I know where you can find wounded healers. If you go to a 12-step fellowship, the rooms are full of them. And that club, cult, or non-organized affiliation of peoples thrives on the idea that the person that can help you the best is someone who's already been through your pain, who knows your pain, who's experienced it and got through it themselves. So there's plenty of those kinds of healers around if you look for them. Older folk, quite often, are a source of that kind of wisdom.
They've been around the block. They know this drill.
Now, there's another idea. Now, I mentioned this last week. There's a spiritualist named Edgar Cayce, and he preached that, I don't know whether he's actually a preacher. That's probably the wrong word to use. He thought that dogs and canines have a very special place in the human world and a very special connection to human people. And that they are healers, and that it's one of the benefits of the agreement between man and dog is that they can keep us healthy. And this is actually something I've heard from doctors in regards to the immune system, that families that have pets generally have healthier children. And this may be because of the exposure to doggies.
Well, have you ever noticed when you're sick and the dogs try to, like, lick your nose?
Absolutely. And that idea that they have, you know, they have an amazing sense of smell, and they can actually smell disease or illness in people. Yeah. And this is well established.
Same with cats as well on that one.
Yeah, there are dogs that smell cancer, I think, now.
And rats as well.
Rats that smell cancer?
Yeah, I saw a video about it.
Wow. That's crazy. How would you ever discover that?
Well, I guess lab rats have a lot of, you know.
The poor lab rats.
Yeah.
Oh.
But there was some rat that was responsible for detecting thousands of cancer, whatever. I saw a little reel about it on
Man, I YouTube. Hope I don't come back as a lab rat. It'd be worse than being a cockroach, I think. Not only people can heal, but things can heal. There's a range of things that can provide the powers of healing, including sounds. healing sneezes.
And John, you recently had an experience of a healing animal, didn't you?
Yes, my dog, Ivy. hello, darling. She's with me right now. She's with me most of the time. She's a Labrador. And I have peripheral neuropathy. So I have problems with my limbs, my arms and legs. And I get like this weird joint pain and numbness. And just lately, my knee, I got frozen. I have these things called frozen joints, which is weird. It happens a lot to women, apparently. They get the frozen shoulders. But I've had it in all of my major joints in my body, most recently my right knee. And I had this interesting experience where I was in a lot of pain and I was lying on my lounge chair sort of. And Ivy came up and insisted on getting up between my legs, which was quite difficult fitting her on the lounge, but she was very insistent. And she got up, and when she eventually got up there, she turned around and she placed her head on top of my knee and pressed down quite heavily and wouldn't move. And it was kind of like I tried to push her away, and she actually resisted me and kept her head there for about 5 or 10 minutes. And then she moved to underneath my knee, lower down. This went on for quite a while, and it just reminded me of the Edgar Cayce story about the healing power of animals. And is this what she was actually doing? Was she actually, did she recognize where my pain was coming from and was trying to comfort me or heal me? And did I get a result, you may ask?
Yes, what was the outcome?
Well, my knee's getting better, amazingly. What I found with this condition is, even though it takes an awful long time, and if you go to a doctor, they will give you all kinds of drugs like Lyrica, gabapentin. I was given all kinds of nerve pain drugs, as well as very heavy opioids and anti-inflammatories, a whole range of things, cortisone injections. I had all this, like, when this first started happening a couple of years ago. But after trying these things, they had such horrible side effects, dependence and paralyzing me, making the pain worse. Lyrica is just not a very nice drug. It makes you really dizzy and sleep all the time. But what's happened over the last few years is that the only kind of treatment I've had really is physiotherapy, which I've constantly done. So exercises, and I go to a physiotherapist and he manipulates my joints and stuff. But besides that, it's just healthy living, you know. Basically, that has enabled my body to repair itself, and my various aches and pains are actually starting to go away, perhaps with the aid of Ivy.
John's healing journey, folks.
We all need a bit of healing at times. Yeah.
What the world needs now. And there's the healing with touch, and as we know, and as we said on the program before, when a baby is not touched sufficiently, it can lead to its demise.
When they first sort of started to invent the idea of hospitals and doctors, institutionalized medicine, they started getting women to go to hospitals to have babies, and it didn't work out well. It didn't work out well to start with. I don't know how they kept getting people to come, but they did. Women kept going to the hospitals, and eventually it worked out, and there was terrible mortality of infants when they first started, because their process was to pluck the baby out of the mother and stick it in a cot. The babies kept dying, and they couldn't work out why, what was going wrong, and they eventually worked out. The nurses discovered that if you touch the baby, healing power of touch, or the life-giving power of human contact with other humans, it makes all the difference in that situation, and that that kind of turned the tables on hospitalized births.
Within a more alternative idea, there's also the concept of energy healing through Reiki, where they don't even touch you at all. And I actually have a level one certificate in Reiki. I went to a number of classes over the course of a few days, and it's definitely fascinating. And I think that it does have something to do with, some kind of invisible element to reality that connects us all.
The power of the mind, that's an interesting idea, because that's the power of someone else's mind. What is the Reiki power?
Energy. Like, have you ever seen those movies where people build like a psychic energy ball in their hands?
Like, well, I've done Chinese martial arts. So in Chinese martial arts, you move the energy around your body with your mind.
Yeah.
And in Ayurvedic medicine, they're called chakras. Chinese, it's called qi. I think the Japanese call it qi.
Yeah, there you go. So this is like all different descriptions of the same kind of phenomenon, right?
Yeah, and I have forms that I do where I imagine that it's like you're holding a ball and moving a ball of energy around your body. It's called iron shirt qigong.
Well, the energy ball is integral to Reiki. You have to create one before doing it to someone, and essentially the practicing they got it to do was to sort of hover the hands like up and down someone's body who's like lying down, and then you sort of intuit what area needs the energy healing.
In the practice I learned, it was more about building up a life force that kept you safe from external forces, both actual physical interaction, but also other kinds of forces that can affect you. But it's really focused on martial arts. Iron Shirt Qigong is iron palm, you know. It's like you actually create a psychic shell of energy life force that makes you incredibly powerful in a martial way, in an actual fighting context.
Yeah. And I believe that, the self-protection can be tied in as well to Reiki.
Yeah, and another kind of healing is light therapy. Have you heard of that?
Yes, I've heard of the red light therapy.
We've all heard of certain frequencies of sunlight that are perhaps harmful if you have too much, like ultraviolet or X-ray radiation, which is actually all blocked by our ionosphere or our atmosphere, the dangerous frequencies of light that comes from the sun. Of course, we die without light. Everyone has heard that vitamin D is produced by exposure to the sun, but I think there's all kinds of biological processes that require sunlight. And interestingly, I've been trying red light therapy, which is the idea that infrared light, and that's the stuff that snakes use to, one of their forms of vision is an ability to sense infrared frequencies of light, which are invisible to our eyes, but they do it with their tongue. And this is why they spit their tongue in and out. They have little receptors on the end of their tongue, and they can sense body heat or heat in their surroundings. And that's one of the ways that they navigate the world. So imagine what the world looks like to a snake through its tongue. Crazy.
Crazy.
Light therapy, yeah. I've been trying it. I've got I got it from my grandmother. It's a infrared heat lamp that they use for aches and sprains. You can buy them at chemist shops. You can buy them online. And I think it's 670 nanometers is the wavelength. And a little bit of exposure to that. I've been exposing myself to that light in the mornings just for like 5 minutes, 5 or 10 minutes. And apparently it can help regenerate retinal cells that we were talking about earlier, improve your vision, but also be beneficial in other ways. So more will be revealed. I'll let you know how I go.
Well, you've certainly got a lot of different kinds of healing. You've got the light healing and the cymatic, which is what the sound healing is. And on that topic of sound healing, I just thought of the fact that we used to... Yes, here it is, folks.
It's a healing bowl, which is resonating in my hand.
Why is it that every town hall or town square has the bells?
The bells.
Yeah,
yes.
What's that about? Is that to do with cymatics, John?
Maybe. So there are healing sounds, healing light, healing waters.
Hope springs eternal, the fountain of youth.
Spring water. Now, I also indulge in healing waters. I do not drink tap water, and I haven't drunk tap water for many years now. I drink spring water, water from the ground. It doesn't have any of the additives, let's call them, that our government puts in the water to sterilize it. Chlorine and all kinds of metal oxides and fluoride, which we've mentioned before. So I've been off all that stuff for a number of years. Healing herbs, well, there's plenty of information about them. In fact, you can find a herb to heal almost anything. There's various ways you can extract the essential oils and terpenes out of plant matter. And most of them have, if they're not toxic, which some of them are, poisonous, have amazing medicinal value. Really simple stuff like chamomile and calendula and oregano oil and clove oil is a great painkiller if you've got a sore tooth. Oregano is a great antibiotic. Most essential oils have antifungal, anti-inflammatory, antibacterial properties.
Very yes. good.
Herbs are great. I love herbs. And I eat them as well. I eat a lot of chili and turmeric, cumin.
It's good for you, folks. And, of course, there's thoughts, healing thoughts. And this makes me think of prayer. And we know that statistically, people who pray are more likely to get better and heal quicker as well. So that speaks to this idea of healing thoughts.
Well, it kind of makes sense that if you have mental health issues, that healing thoughts might be the medicine that you need rather than a pill. Now, we do treat a lot of psychological conditions as defined by medical practitioners with all kinds of brain pills to supposedly cure our chemical imbalances. Seems to be the go-to method, but I haven't had a lot of success with those kinds of treatments. But I've had a lot of success with cognitive-based therapies.
Well, that's another kind, yes, or that's the healing thoughts idea and the importance of the inner voice and that what that's saying to you.
And we must remind you all of the placebo effect, which is the major predominant aspect of all allopathic medicines, is the fact that if someone believes that that pill is going to help them, then it probably will. And this is well documented in many, many tests. They call it the blind placebo test. It's the definitive gold standard of testing any kind of medicine. Is it, how does it stack up to a pill with nothing in it?
The power of the placebo.
There you are. And before we go, perhaps we need to answer the question of how do you mend a broken heart?
Time, they say time heals. We didn't mention that.
Yeah. Give it time. It's like the body will heal itself and so will your broken heart. Eventually, if you give it time.
We didn't get to talk about the healer monster, but that's okay. It's a lizard from Arizona. You can look it up.
So, folks, when you go to bed tonight, make sure there's no healer monster in your bed.
That's right. Check it and check it again, because lizards, some of them do like beds. I can speak from personal experience. Be back soon. Bye for now.
Bye bye.
You're listening to People Powered Radio, proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. The Community Broadcasting Foundation resources community-owned and operated media stations just like this one that connect people and tell vital, local stories so that we all enjoy a more vibrant, inclusive Australian culture and healthy democracy. Find out more about our work at cbf.com.au.